Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Hey, I want to talk to you this morning about this this theory that, well, it's not just a theory, it's a struggle, really. It's a battle that all of us go through. And it's the battle of worry and anxiety that has kind of taken our society by storm. I want to talk to you guys about how to turn worry into worship. Sometimes what leaders can do, and maybe even we would see this in a king, in kingdoms, is to intentionally create some worry and anxiety in their people so that they lean heavier upon their king. Maybe we'll withhold some meals from you to make you worry so that, man, when he finally does provide for us, yeah, we celebrate that he's good. We can create anxiety in people around us so that they become more dependent upon us. It's a power move is what it is. You ever get a text from somebody and they're saying, hey, we need to talk. It's very important. Well, thank you very much for ruining the rest of my day. I'm now full of worry and anxiety, like, oh my gosh, what did I say? I probably offended him. For me, it's usually what I say. What did I say? Oh my gosh, what did I do? You know, what? And you're just worried like crazy. The person didn't clue you in at all on what the conversation is. Don't do that. That's a power move. And you intentionally do that to kind of create something so that you walk into the room with kind of the authority. It's not cool. Hey, really want to talk to you about something that's important. Here's a couple things that we need to talk about that are coming up. Whew, man, how much more enjoyable is that? Or wives, how about this? Urgent. I've pointed out the laundry room to you 20 times in the last week. It's the room between the kitchen and the bathroom. It's the laundry room. We really need to have a conversation about this. Clue your husband in. That's also helpful on what those texts could be. But here's the deal is Jesus is not that king. Jesus does not create worry and anxiety in his people. He actually does the exact opposite. He says, do not worry. Don't be anxious for anything. Don't you know that your Father is good? And so instead of coming with a threat or to create some worry and anxiety, he comes with peace. And through his peace, we become even more dependent upon him because he proves himself as good and as faithful through it all. I just want to say these three words that might hit you a little heavy. Worry is sin. To worry is to sin. Because Jesus tells us not to do it. And yet we got to unpack all of this stuff. It's like, okay, I got it. I don't want to worry. I don't want to live with anxiety. But this is the reality of where I'm at. Let's unpack this a little bit. Probably a lot of us would agree. Yeah, I understand that Jesus calls us not to worry, and that's what he has challenged us to do. But it feels like it's an impossibility to quit. It's not like I can just choose to not go to those certain areas. Like if you struggle with alcohol, well, I can choose to not go to the bar or to bring some home to my life. Well, what do I do at 3 a.m. when I can't sleep? And there's that thing that's going off inside of me. There's that thing that's going off in my brain. Every morning at 3 a.m., I awake either with a full brain or a full bladder. It's one of them. I'm awakened. I prefer the bladder, not the brain. When the brain is inundated, y'all know what I'm talking about. Man, I got this meeting coming up, and I got that, and I got to prepare for this, and I got that, and I said that, and they're offended. And, oh my gosh, what's going on in my marriage and my kids? And oh, what? And it just floods, and it robs us. It steals joy. It steals rest and peace, and just even the ability to sleep or to enjoy life. We worry. And worry, what's going on with my health? What's going on with my parents' health? Well, oh my gosh, the weather's changing. Okay, we gotta hunker down. It's gonna be winter. Oh, gas prices. Oh, what's going on in the economy, right? We just worry about everything. Can I just tell you, in the kingdom of God, all is well. All is well in the kingdom. And where Jesus lives on his throne, he's not biting his nails over the gas prices. Perhaps we do, because we live underneath the pressures of this real world. In Matthew, Jesus challenges us. He says, do not worry about these material things. He says, don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about what you'll drink. Don't worry about what you'll wear. He says, the pagans worry about that stuff. He says, peoples whose hearts are far from me get all caught up in that stuff. But instead, look at the birds of the air. And don't I feed them every day? And look at the flowers of the field. Who has seen anything decorated with such ornament? Even Solomon in his best of days did not get dressed up the way that I decorate these flowers. He says, how much more important are you than a bird or than a flower that I would not take care of my own sons and daughters? There's this thing where Jesus just wants to come into where we can breathe. I know that he's good. And I know that he's faithful, and I don't need to hyperventilate and freak out because I just know that he is faithful. And I want to encourage you with this. The presence in which you live absolutely matters. You can create a lot of that presence in your home by creating a worshipful atmosphere, by having worship music playing, by starting your day right, not starting your day late and running and worried and stressed, and I got to catch up. Start your day with peace and with joy, getting into the Word of God, allowing him to inundate your brain and your thinking, allowing the renewing of our minds daily to come in. Jesus, I need help in my brain, in my mental health. I want to be healthy all through me, and I need the mind of Christ to come in and infiltrate who I am. Now, whenever he says, don't worry about what you should eat or what you should drink, I'll take care of that. He doesn't mean that you should just go quit your job. He's not saying lack of responsibility. He's saying, no, get jobs and jobs that provide. But I'm going to be one that's going to help you do that. I'm going to help provide in your life. Let's lean on this Jesus who is for us and not against us. What does it say? What does my worry say about my God? If I'm a father and I tell my son, son, I've seen the end from the beginning. I know how this story goes. I have all the resources completely at your disposal. And I'm for you and I'm all powerful. I'm even more powerful than Rambo. Hey, son, I created Rambo. Aren't I awesome, right? And I've got this whole thing just mapped out for you. Don't worry, I got this. And the very next day, my son wakes up. Oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just freaking out. What does that say about me as the father? Doesn't trust me, doesn't put his hope and faith and confidence that I'm big and that I'm good and that I'm strong. And so I want to encourage this. Also, those places where we live in worry and anxiety, to have a fresh encounter with the Lord. Jesus, I've got to get my eyes refixed upon you more than just the problem. I got to get my eyes fixed upon you more than just all the things that I'm fearful of and that I live in fear and worry of. There is something so much better that you have for me. And there's, I think in a lot of us, there's an ache. I want to be free of this. I want to live my best life. I want to be able to bust through and go to another level of just freedom in the Lord, but I'm jammed up and I'm locked up here. One of the things that I talk to my own children about, and you know, right now it's not mortgages. Right now it's doing flips on the trampoline. That's their challenge. And Dad, I want to do it. I'm so scared to do it. Okay, here I go. 1, 2, 3. No, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh my gosh, right? And that's us sometimes. Oh, I need to go have this conversation. Oh, I just don't want to do it. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, see you next week. And we just keep putting it off. And I'll tell my kids this. I'll say, hey, here's this wall of fear, and this is you. And you keep kind of running into this wall of fear. This is for you guys over here. And I said, and if you could just get over this fear, there's an amazing life awaiting you that you're free and full and fun and just fully alive in Jesus that he's called and created you to live. but you're locked right here. And you just can't bust through, can't get over it. And they're like, okay, Dad, all right, but can you hold my hand on the first one? Isn't that cool that our Father will hold our hand on the first one and the 40th one and the 100th one? Because he's good. He's the shepherd that walks through those valleys with us. He is there to walk it out with us. In Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6, it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Guys, we don't even understand how we bust through this. The peace that comes in, I don't even understand why I'm at peace whenever everything just hit the fan, and yet I'm just living with this peace and this joy about my life. This peace, it will guard your heart. It will guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Anxiety is at war with the Prince of Peace. Those things that are going on inside of you every day is at battle. There's a rage going on. And peace, the Prince of Peace, wants to come in and sit on the throne of your heart. Where he can bring just a, I love this next series that the women are going to do, just breathe. Man, let's all just do that. One, two, three. Man, and breathing in. And Jesus, I just ask you, I just breathe in the oxygen of heaven where peace reigns and rules, where you would come and infiltrate my mind and my spirit and my heart, that I would come to you whenever I get worried like this, that I don't partner with fear. I don't come into the agreement with how hard this situation is and worry and stress. I come into agreement by prayer and petition. Jesus, I bring this before you. This is what's going on right now. I just need you. And he says, with gratitude or with thanksgiving. Don't come with petitions of frustration. Jesus, get them. I don't like this person. And frustration and bitterness. He says, come to me with your prayers that are full of thanksgiving. It's a guy that I enjoy listening to. He says, and the way that he handles stress and worry is through gratitude. And he says, every morning he wakes up in some sort of like a meditative state. And what he does is he imagines somebody super close to him and his family that tragically dies. I'm thinking, well, that's terrible. I thought you were a motivational speaker. This is sad. And he says, I do it. And I picture the tragedy that happens, and that there's this death, and I sit in it for like 5 minutes, and I just feel it. And he's like, I'm even crying. And then all of a sudden, he's like, I awaken, I come out of it, and he's like, whew, they're not dead. And all of a sudden, he says, gratitude hits my spirit, and I'm so thankful. He says, it just changes my perspective. And he's like, what, my conference got messed up? Who cares? My dad is still alive, right? He goes, what? I didn't sell enough widgets today? Okay. Whew. My child is still with me, right? He gains perspective. He's like, I got to get a different kind of perspective. What are we worried about? He's like, nothing else matters at that point. When we gain perspective, when we come to the Lord with hearts that are thankful, full of gratitude, we can make these prayers. Jesus, I'm thankful. I just need your help. Jesus, will you come and free me of this worry and anxiety? Just bring some peace in the midst of the storm. And maybe Jesus won't free you from the storm. But Jesus is in your boat, and he can bring peace in the midst of the storm. Those are helpful prayers to have. Not just Jesus, I need to get out of jail free card. Jesus, help me endure through it all. Strengthen me. Make me mentally healthy, mentally tough and strong to be able to endure the storms of life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 kind of give us just a simple-minded approach on how to go through these things where worry becomes an internal conversation. Anybody just wake up, man, you just have that 40-minute conversation with the mirror. No one's even there. But you just told Becky, you just had the whole conversation with Kevin, you just told him everything, And it's just this conversations that we have with ourselves. I would encourage you to transcend the conversation to the Prince of Peace, the guy who transcends all of our understandings. I want to have Megan Stroop come up here. Megan, who just shared earlier, is super, super smart when it comes to what goes on in our brains when worry and stress hit, and the physical impact of what goes on in our bodies. Yeah? Is there a... You want to just pull this out?
Well, no, I just need to...
Oh. Yeah. We can do that. Are we on?
Can you hear me? Okay. Okay, when Brock asked me to speak today, he wanted me to talk about the brain. And in order to understand how a brain responds to stress, we first need to understand what our brain is designed to do naturally. So there's this really cool hand model that you can use. When I do this training in schools and in other organizations, I teach them this hand model as one of the first things that I do. And then when I talk to them months later, they're using this in conversation to help each other understand where they are. So this hand model looks like this. If you tuck your thumb in here and put your top fingers over it, it's as if you're standing, like if I were standing to the side, this would be my brain, okay, from the side. So down here, this is your brain stem, and this regulates your body functions, including your immune system, breathing, heartbeat, all of that. Our brains develop from the bottom up, and then from the inside out. So we know that babies are born with a brainstem, right? They can breathe, they can, their hearts beat, they have an immune system from the very first day that they're born. They don't have logic and reasoning, which will develop later on. So then you have this brainstem underneath here. This is called our amygdala. This is the center of our emotions. This is what houses our fight or flight response. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. If you then tuck your hand back over like this, again from the side, up here is your prefrontal cortex, and this is where your logic, reasoning, and moral judgment live. If you think about this hand model in this way, imagine that you're walking in the woods, okay, and all of a sudden you see something that looks like a bear, and instantly you do this, okay? And so what we call this in social work is you flip your lid. What this means, yes, so you're gonna flip your lid, and what happens is your prefrontal cortex, which houses your logic, reasoning, and all of that, is gonna go offline. And what you're going to be working from here is your amygdala, which is where that fight or flight response is housed. When you are in fight or flight, a couple of things happen. Another way to think of this is, imagine most of you are over 16 years old. Most of you probably drive a car. And at one time or another, maybe even on your way here today, zoned out a little bit in the car, and the car in front of you slammed on their brakes, and you came this close to rear-ending them. And when that happens, you have that moment of like, and you get hot and cold at the same time. What's actually happening there is that you're getting a dump of emotion. You're getting a dump of actual chemicals into your bloodstream. One of them is adrenaline. That's going to speed up our heart rate, increase your blood pressure. Your airways are going to open up. Cortisol gets dumped, so that temporarily inhibits your digestion, growth, reproduction, and the immune system. So truly, from a medical, scientific standpoint, when you flip your lid because you are in a fight or flight moment, you're not there to think, you're just there to survive. So we are here, we flip our lid, and that is great if there's a bear in the woods and you survive the bear, and then later you can go, okay, I lived, I made it past the bear, I'm okay. And you can train your body to calm itself down, to get oxygen flowing, and to not be in this heightened state anymore. Where this becomes an issue is what Brock is talking about here, which is constant worry. In my field, another way that I describe that is possibly even constant trauma. So if the bear isn't a bear, staying here or even here and not all the way down can be maladaptive and even life-altering, where flipping your lid to save your life is life-saving and adaptive. We don't want to just live here all the time. What happens is prolonged exposure to adrenaline and cortisol in high levels increases our risk of heart disease, heart attack, stroke, and a variety of other health issues. So what Brock is saying, worry is a sin. It's not only a sin, it's actually really, really bad for our health and makes us very, very sick. In order to stop this from happening, I think when you understand that hand model, and you can even say to your child or your spouse or other family members, I flip my lid. And it could be not every time we flip our lid is it because there's a bear in the woods or because we almost rear in the car in front of us. It could be because tomorrow's Monday and we have to go into a job that we hate. It could be that we don't have enough money for groceries and we know that. And so anything we can do to address those issues, take the stress and worry out of our lives, the better off we will be emotionally and health-wise.
So good. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Powerful presentation to think when I get these dumps of adrenaline. And for some, we can live in just heightened states all the time. Everything's a big deal. There's no peace in the camp. It's just constant. The lid is flipped. Isn't that kind of a funny thing to think that that's where it came from? But then I get these dumps of cortisol where I can't digest food. I gain weight. I have higher stress. I have now heart disease. I have all this stuff because I carry the weight of the world and the worry of the world you were not designed to carry. And so we literally are just chopping days, weeks, years off of our lives by living in these heightened states of emotion. And so the body does this for us to live in survival mode. And perhaps you have been in relationships and situations where that's all it is. I am in survival mode. I am trying to live one more day. I'm trying to bust through one more time. And so I can't even think with all of my brain. I just have one little access point, and it's to get through the woods because there's a bear. If that is the reality, would you please come talk to one of us that we could walk through, talk it out? It's more than just a Sunday sermon. It's more than just a message. There could be some really life-giving counsel that could come to you. We see in Scripture, David, King David, would go through these times where it seemingly looks like he's flipping his lid, as Megan says. In Psalm chapter 17, we see this, where David talks about that the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies, they surround me. They close their hearts to pity. With their mouths, they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, a young lion lurking in ambush. Feels like the weight of the world is all around him all of the time. David then moves into reminding himself of God's goodness, the past ways where God has taken care of him. And he moves in Psalm chapter 17. He says, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer. From my lips, make them free from deceit. From your presence, let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. I call upon you, and you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words, and show your steadfast love." One of the things that we see is David presents his case before the Lord with prayers and petitions, as Philippians tells us. And then he says, "God, you're good and you're faithful, and I lean and I trust on you." To come into those places of total dependence upon the Lord. Also in Philippians, it says that we've got to guard our minds and to guard our hearts. Tell you this, sometimes we can create this anxiety in our own homes. If you start seeing your children do that and freaking out, and maybe you are walking through the woods and that stick looks like a snake, And they freak out. Ah! Okay, hey, it's not. Let's help bust them through and not fester that stuff. Oh my gosh, I know, honey, that was great. Me too, oh my gosh. And just kind of playing into all of that stuff. Let's lead. Let's save them 20 years of heading down these animated places where they can go emotionally. I'm serious. Save them. Husbands, let's lead our wives into homes that are full of peace and joy, right? The Bible says the kingdom of heaven operating under the Holy Spirit is righteousness, peace, and joy found in the Holy Ghost. Our homes should be places of peace, not the turmoil and not the stress and threatenings and demands and places of peace where I come in because I'm around these people, joy and life-giving. Find those people, find your tribe that can speak that joy in life, not those that feed and fester worry and anxiety. Maybe you're locked into some of that at your job or maybe even in a tough marriage. Come before the Lord. Bring peace and joy into my heart again. Philippians continues to go. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. Get your mind fixed on these things, the things that are pure and lovely and beautiful. Let's land grab, if you will. Let's get the best real estate you have, and it's your operating system. It is your mind. Take it back for the kingdom. Take every thought captive. And I want to focus on the beauty of the Lord. And it says, and the God of peace will be in you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that the last time that I was with you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, if you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it, I am not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned, check this out, this is the Apostle Paul. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well-fed or I'm starving, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This is the power of God coming into our minds. No longer am I going to live in fear. No longer am I going to live with all of these emergencies and health crises. I'm going to take ownership of my life. I'm going to begin to think right. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to breathe right. I'm going to have health come into my inner man. I'm going to realign my life the way that God originally designed for it to be. And it's not racked with disease physically and mentally and emotionally. It's to live in the freedom that Jesus Christ has offered for us, that he went to the cross to break every bond over us. And I mean every bond. It wasn't, well, maybe you'll still have to deal with this. He wants to free us, church. He wants to free us. He wants to set us free and to say, Jesus, I need to go on a new growth track. I need to get on a journey where you can set me free, liberate my mind, let me breathe and live again. To plead with him, to petition before him, that he would come and reign and rule with peace over our lives. Psalm 121 says this, I lift my eyes up to the mountains where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. For some of you, man, maybe this mental health is a real and heavy deal and you're saying, I need help. Would you reach out, please? And we want to bring in the highest help that we possibly can give you. First, it's encounter with Jesus Christ. And second, it's really good Christ-based therapy. We can provide that. We can help you bust through times when anxiety seems way too heavy because it is real. And Jesus can lead us into new paths of life. Would you all stand with me this morning? For some of you, you're thinking, man, I'll just live with peace. For some of you, like, I haven't had a single day of peace. I would love that. We want to ask Jesus to hit us in that point, right? That he would just come in. Jesus, bring that new sense of peace, and it passes all understanding. But somebody can try to explain it, but it transcends. Bring that. Let's pray. Jesus, this is a heavy thing. This is a big deal for many, many marriages, many parents, many individuals going through just heaviness in life. Jesus, we ask you, Lord, that you would come in as the Prince of Peace to expel all darkness and the attacks of the enemy, where he comes in to accuse the brethren, where he comes in to rob us of our joy and of our peace, where he puts wedges in relationships, where we're up in the middle of the night worrying and fretting and wringing our hands, where we can't live those adventures that we've always wanted just to go and do, but we're locked in fear and worry. Jesus, set your people free today. Lord, come and infiltrate our minds. Lord, I pray that we would also have enough humility to say, I need help. Help. I need some Christ-based therapy. I need some people to talk and wrestle through this. I need some counsel. Lord, I just pray that this would be a movement of freedom that would come to your people. And we do all of this for your glory and for the good of your bride. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.